with the Mac, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively downtown doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Got some Betty Boop scratch-offs here for the mayor's crew as well. We're down at Next Phase Cafe. It's also brought to you by our friends at Goodwill. I have a whole closet for Goodwill. I'm going to need a truck about this size to come pick up all of our spring cleanings now into summer, for crying out loud. And my summer windows at Window Nation. Buy two, get two free. We're doing that. And don't forget Purple Rain 1 and 2. I've been holding the books up here. I'm going to give the mayor an autographed copy from Brian Billick of Purple Rain 1 and 2. They're going to be up online, as well as the Peter Principles and the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm doing 31 crab cakes in 31 days, and I'm doing 31 breweries. And I'm going to feature the cities. I'm going to go to Union, go to Monument. We're going to do some city breweries, too, during the month of August to celebrate my 31st anniversary on the air. We're Next Phase because of you. I was at Preakness. And you famously love Coco's. You've been there. I famously am going to be at Fadley's on Wednesday and Costas and all my places. Pappas, Conrad's, all my places. You pick this place. Let's talk about
Crabs, too.
Well, they're a crab house, right? So when you pick a place and you talk about local business, this is kind of the quintessential. Popped up in the last 5 years, celebrated its fifth anniversary on Juneteenth here. And elevating local businesses and trying to get a business to start a 5 years to still be here and thriving 5 years later. Hard thing to do in the city, open a business and survive, but that's what you're here to stimulate that business.
Yeah, and listen, I've known Tony a long time, man. I know him when he had Phase 10, and this is the next phase, right? So it's a place.
He hadn't told me that story yet.
Yeah. So I've been eating his food.
He's green rooming me here.
For many, many, many years, and it's a great place. You come in here, you know, it's Juneteenth, so everyone's celebrating and off today.
When you come free parking. Here, thank you, Mayor.
When you come in here during lunchtime, you just have folks in here, man. Come in. I come for dinner on my way home sometimes. It's a great place. So if you're downtown, you got Jordan, make sure you pop in the Next Phase and get yourself some good food.
Tell me why Juneteenth's important, because we got a holiday now here. It certainly wasn't this way 10 years ago, 20 years ago. No. You are building your reputation at AFRAM and moving things around that this is – it's a day off downtown. It is quiet down here. I got some parking. I'm kidding about it. But it is now a holiday moving forward. A lot of folks come down and participate. This is important for the community.
No, it's very important. When you talk about the history of this country, you can't talk about American history without talking about Black history, right? They're intertwined. And when you think about that, 2 years after they were technically free, we had Black people living in Texas. They didn't know that they were free. And this is about highlighting not just the struggle and all the things that they went through, my ancestors went through, Nestor, but also highlighting the greatness of the culture, where we are, but also how far we have to go. It's about raising that awareness to let folks know that some of those tenements of those kind of thinking is still there. We've seen it a lot more.
I've seen a whole lot of it
over the last few years and the things that happened in Buffalo and all these other places. And we've seen so much of it. We have to be truthful, be open, be proud of that heritage, and not let that darkness come in. Because as we always say, darkness cannot overtake light. Light will always prevail.
Well, you mentioned about the other factions. I mean, I drove around the state last year, Confederate flags. You spent your formative years in college also driving down into Southern Maryland. Yeah, so absolutely. I got to go down there and I mean, you built it up like it was going to be a big thing. I was going, it's quiet down there.
It is.
It's very quiet down there. I loved it.
It's very quiet. It's where I love to go get my peace, man. Southern Maryland is always going to have a special place in my heart. But it is also changing. It's a very changing place. It's a lot different than it was when I lived there from 2002 to 2006 today. Just down there a few weekends ago. So beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
I was going to invite you for a crab cake down there on the tour in August last year because I figured, but we get it here in the city.
They got some good crabs down there.
No doubt about it. We're at Next Phase Cafe. We're downtown, right around the corner from Mercy, really right around the corner from where you run the city. Let's talk about crime in the city. Yeah. Let's talk about where we are and what you're trying to do because the minute we lose World Cup, the first thing that happens is well, it's got to be the crime. It's got to be this. It's got to be the transportation. Got to be the red line. Right. And I'm thinking, you're talking about your buddy out in Kansas City.
Have you ever been to Arrowhead?
In a train.
Or Kaufman. You can't. They don't even have that in Kansas
City. It's a highway.
They barely have buses, right?
So, same thing with Foxborough.
Yeah, Foxborough. They have some, but it's not.
When I hear these excuses about World Cup, it's not that.
They're all having the same issues. We look at not just the American cities, the international cities. We're all facing the same issues. Like I said, you know, I am friends with the mayor of Kansas City, know him very well. He actually, ironically, was here with me in my box when we beat Kansas City, when the FIFA delegation was here to see that live in action last year. You know, we know, Nestor, that anytime something doesn't happen for Baltimore, folks pivot to what they know as, like, oh, this is a safe thing to say. Let's blame it on this. Let's blame it on this, right? Crime didn't stop Paul McCartney from coming here and didn't stop us from having a fabulous time. It didn't stop AFRIN. It didn't stop the CIAA from not only coming and moving here from Charlotte, but giving us the extension. Oh, we know we have an issue. Like, everybody's dealing with the issue around the country. But we are pushing every day, and we're starting to see how we can have an impact there. I'll just give you some raw data points. When we talked over in February, I think that's the last time we talked.
Yeah.
We were, early in February, we were 27, almost 30% up in homicides and non-fatal shootings, right? You and I are talking today. We're actually down from where we were last year in non-fatal shootings. And we have shrunk that number on the homicides down to 6%. We're going to continue to push that work every day. When you see, again, people have to understand that violence doesn't exist in a vacuum. Myself, Nate Lucas, all these other mayors are constantly talking about also how the personal nature of these things are starting to shift, right? We are seeing folks who are killing people that they know, right? People that are someone sleeping with someone's wife or perceived to be your ex-girlfriend, a basic petty dispute. And that is something that we have to understand, that police officers are not going to be in people's homes. They're not going to be in people's cars. They're not going to know that someone's having a social media beef with somebody, with someone that they know. So we have to understand that while we are doing the great work, I'll just say this, our officers have taken over 1,000 guns off the street already.
I was going to say the guns are the issue. And, I saw this 1,000 ghost gun thing.
Oh, yeah. We're suing.
It's unbelievable that these are allowed to be made. You know what I mean? I thought with ghost guns, I thought this was something like crack mixed in an alley. Like, no. Literally, I didn't realize these were legitimate companies making illegitimate guns.
What I'm talking about for your listeners, what's happening is that you, anyone, and this law, like, we have taken hundreds of them off the street already. Every year it gets increased. So when you're talking about ghost guns, for us, it's polymer 80, that's what they call. And you can go online and buy these kits to put together a gun, right? It shouldn't be easier, next year, for a young person, right? Someone that shouldn't be allowed to have a gun, legally can't have one, or someone who hasn't went through the process to buy a gun online than it is for me to buy a Lego at CVS. And that's exactly what it is with these ghost guns. They go in, they buy them, they make the kits, they give them, they sell them out in the streets of Baltimore City. And I think when you see how they've been used, and we know that these companies are purposely doing it that way so that they can go around back checks and all the other things and regulations that you have to buy a firearm legally. And this is, for me, I want folks to hear this and hear this very clearly. I am not an anti-gun person. I am the grandson of a pig farmer from North Carolina, right? But what I am anti is folks having things that they shouldn't have. People who are limited from that. Children shouldn't have that, right? The fact that, and we ever start thinking about this in this country, especially after we continue, I was in ninth grade, Nestor, when Columbine happened, and we heard, not one more. How many more have we had? How many mass shootings happen in inner cities every day? And what we have to start to see is how people have to grow. No one's saying that you can't have a gun. That's your American right. But why should you be able to buy that online and go around all the systems that are there to protect us and make sure that people who shouldn't have a gun, people who have been victimizing their significant other, people who are not old enough, people who haven't been cleared because of other mental health and other issues, criminals, right? Why? Why is that? Why does someone who is just an average citizen need an AK-47 when people in the military get training specifically on how to use it? They don't. We have to get to a point in this country where the sanctity of American guns is outweighed by the sanctity of American lives. Especially our children. We can't continue to see this happening over and over and over and over and over.
well, as the mayor of Baltimore, you see this every day, right? Yeah. If the guns weren't here, we would not have bodies on this. We just wouldn't. Yeah. It has made murder an easy...
1,000. We have seized 1,000 weapons on the street already this year. Hundreds of them connected to violent crime in Baltimore. And most importantly, Nestor, most of them coming from other states. That's what we have to understand. We have a gun trafficking issue, which is why I created the Gun Trafficking Unit, Firearm Intelligence Unit, MVPD, to work with our federal partners to bring down gun traffickers. We did the first big arrest. We did that last year. I'll tell you how serious it is for me. The person was someone I grew up with that ran track with me at Maryville High School. It doesn't matter to me who you are if you're helping people kill people in Baltimore City. We have to deal with that. We're doing our group violence reduction strategy that you and I talked about before, starting in the Western District, which has been the most violent historically. This year, already in that district, we're piloting, it's in homicides down 40%, non-fatal shootings down 18%. We're going to be expanding that throughout the city, making sure that we're working with our federal partners and our state partners as we already have been, expanding that work. We are clearing, serving more warrants, but we will not stop. But we have to tackle this from every single angle, which is why I sued the gun companies.
Well, for the police and for what we expect from policing, and this is goes back to your time in city council. I remember you sitting with me and talking about, you know, calling the police to get your cat out of the tree.
Yeah.
Or you know, husband and wife are having a beef and somebody's having mental health issues. I mean, the police are the go-to in some neighborhoods. In some neighborhoods, they never call the police.
Not in a few more days, they won't be. I put forth what we call a smart policing initiative. Nestor, when 911 was created for emergency, right? It's an emergency number. Well, our officers, our patrol officers, what we call them right now, really should be called call takers because they spend 80% of their time taking non-emergency calls, many of which the police shouldn't be responding to them in an emergency way, right? And what we're doing in our smart police initiative, we started with our civilianization, where we're going to be having our officers do sworn work, civilians do civilian work, so we can get more of them out on the street, which is just a smart thing to do, right?
I think we all believe we need more police and more good police.
Yeah, get them out there, right? But also going through our police redistricting so that our 9 districts are aligned in a better way. That hasn't changed since 1959. But this smart policing initiative is going to be very, very important because what's going to happen now is that we're going to free up our officers' time to actually patrol so that they're not taking these calls for service for these things. So, for example, many years ago, 2013, when I was on the city council, we had this press conference where we brought this idea that I have an online report for minor crimes in Baltimore, right? I had talked to folks in Milwaukee and Charlotte where they were taking 10,000 plus calls, reports, right, for things that we would send a live body officer licensed sirens to blaring through a neighborhood for non-emergency. They were taking those in the line in 2013, right? We were so far behind. Now, the same thing, doing it on telephone. So far, I'll give you an example. Nestor, it's 2022, right? We have license plate readers all over town, right? If you wake up and your car is stolen, what sense does it make that I send a police officer license siren to your house to give you a report for a car that we know is not there versus actually having an officer do what? Go out.
Find the car.
Find the car, right? It's about evolving our thinking because he's not going to be looking for that car while he's giving you a report. The car's not there. The evidence isn't there. And with the technology and the things that we have, we can be better. Same.
I do online medical now, right?
Right. So, everything's online.
Sure.
And because we have a lot of older residents and connectivity issues, that kind of report can be offered on the phone, even for other things like this. Sorry to pick on you, Dave, but if you left your cell phone in your car, right, in your car, someone bust a window and took it, right, you need a police report for what? To give to your insurance company for both your cell phone, for the cell phone company, and your insurance company to get your car window fixed. Would you rather, Nestor, have a police officer come maybe 45, 2 hours later because it's a low-level call, right? Or would you rather be able to get that report number, give it to your insurance immediately by doing it on phone or over online, or online so that you can get that done, and then allow them to actually go out and look for people, because they don't solve crimes like lost in auto because they rushed to you and gave you a piece of paper. They saw it because they observed the data of where things happen, and they can deploy and have time, which is the key thing, time to deploy and be in the areas to catch people. This is about freeing up officers' time to focus on the things that we want. Because as we continue to divert things like substance abuse and mental health crises to other places, we also have to reimagine what we're doing for officers' time. And if we want them focused on violence, if we want them focused on preventing property crime, all these things, we have to allow them the time to do it.
Prosecution, I know we talked a lot about this, keeping guys, the bad guys off the street, the people doing the carjack, and the people committing these crimes. I've talked to Theroux. I've had Ivan Bates on. You were talking about elections, talking about early voting, your horse, make sure we're all voting out there. But just talking about getting criminals and potential criminals off the street so they're not there for any of us. That is so much bigger than the mayor's problem. Yep. And I knew that as a guy that was considering running for that job, right? Like, it is a process that involves the state, it involves police, it involves the courts.
It mostly involves the state when you think about it. That's the truth. Folks have to evolve their way of thinking about it.
Crime happens in the city. The state's the one that's...
Does the prosecution, does everything else, right? So essentially, once my officers go out there and enforce the law and say, this person committed this crime, it's off. It's off. Oh, yeah. Crab cake.
Here we go.
Arrived.
Right.
The crab cake.
Ooh, that's hot. Ooh, that's hot. Ooh, that's hot. Go ahead. Keep going. Mayor's talking about solving crime here. Let the mayor solve crimes.
We're
going to
solve these crack
kids. We are. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. Oh, look at this. Perfect.
So when you think about it like that, Master, right, essentially that means that after the enforcement portion, it's no longer in the responsibility of the hands of the mayor, right? We have an independently elected state's attorney that does the prosecutions, right? Even from central booking, our jail is actually there. So everything after that is handed off to other folks. So we have the state's attorney, parole and probation, corrections, DJS, all of that are functionalities of the state. And this is why you hear me consistently talk about when folks say, well, it's this person, it's that person. But I tell people this, and not to be mean, is that we got to grow up, right? Grow up and understand that it's a complete system. For example, which is why I worked with the governor to restart the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council and say, like, listen, let's remove the principals for a while. Let the staff folks work together on developing how we fix this. Because, Nestor, people's initial reaction is always just because we're the ones that people can touch, right? Local officials are the ones that they can touch every day. So, for example, if we go to a community meeting, right, and some person is out in the neighborhood is like, well, why is the first people yell at, why is this person out? If y'all just arrested him for murder or violent crime, they yelling at me and their local police commander or the commissioner did, right? Well, the reality was, Nestor, is that we didn't even know why they were out. We had to get, and thanks to my brother, my Senator Corey McCray, we had to pass legislation in Annapolis this year for that when someone is released from a violent crime, be arrested pre-trial, but then notifying the police in the community. We were the only jurisdiction in the state that there was no notification process to. I can't speak to why it didn't exist before. I'm grateful to have this senator.
So I guess just an example. Yeah. A pedophile comes out of jail and goes back to County X somewhere else.
Automatic.
Everybody in the neighborhood knows Skippy's out of jail, and we got to, you know, like, and that's just to use an example, right? That does not go on in Baltimore City.
Well, it does now.
It does now.
It didn't before.
Thanks to Corey.
Well, came about this way.
I shouldn't give you food on your lunch hour.
Corey and I were having a conversation.
Sure.
And I was telling him, like, look, we got to figure out how to fix this system. Because he was amazed, because I said, look, Senator, we arrested this person for murder last month, and we're rearresting him for robbery this month. Something's wrong, but they didn't tell us that he was out, right? So what the senator did is worked on legislation. It was number one, actually, in my package this year in Annapolis to fix that loophole. But I said that to say that there's so many more kind of things that need to evolve and be able to bring in, having that conversation with our state partners. Another example. I was on a homicide scene last year, I believe, maybe last year or year before, where the victim had an ankle bracelet, right? Where another one, we've had several of them, vice versa, where the victim or the perpetrator had an ankle bracelet. That means that they're under home monitoring. As you know, what part of government runs the home monitoring? The state does, right? Well, what we found out is, Nestor, is, and this was something that the governor didn't even know, and he was shocked and really appalled that too when I brought it to him, and something we'd have to work on in the future now with the next governor, that you can be outside of your geofencing for 24 hours before there's anything done, right? And to add on...
You do a lot of damage in 24 hours.
Well, we had an incident, I won't go into the details, but someone was on it. They went there. Someone from their family said that they weren't supposed to be where they were. Person ended up dead. Had they told us, or we've been to do something, person would probably be in jail, but they'd be alive, right? You can do a lot of damage in 24 hours. And also, it still requires, that, and we have to figure out how to do that in a balanced way, because monitoring should be monitoring. But then also supporting our folks at parole and probation. Need a lot more. They do great work, but they need support, Nestor. Because when you, even if a police officer sees that person out on the street and they're not supposed to be there where they are, parole and probation have to first get a warrant approved from the judge in order for something to happen. We have to figure out how we work on all of those systems, because those kind of things, and most importantly, how are we actually doing rehabilitation? We're starting a behind-the-wall program for my office, Mayor Talks, and Neighborhood Safety Engagement. We have to look at that complete system and evolve our way of thinking that when it comes to violence and crime and holding people accountable, that it's just a conversation about the mayor and the police commissioner, right? It's about the mayor, the police commissioner, the state's attorney, the governor.
Well, you said this before you ran for mayor. Yeah. I mean, none of that's changed except your responsibility or perceived responsibility involved in this. All right, last thing for you. Mayor Brandon Scott, we're down to the next phase. We got these delicious crab cakes. I got fried shrimp here. I got remoulade. I got. We're going to talk to Tony Randall about this, but I got to get you back to work running the city. What are you proudest of? Give me an accomplishment that you want to say, I've done this. And then what's something that you feel like maybe you're a little behind? And obviously, crime, you know, we probably knew that before you got elected, right, that this was going to be an issue in guns. But what are you proudest of right now?
I'm proud of a few things. I'll start with this. I'm proud that we've been able to lead with dignity and integrity, right? Something that we had to bring back to city government for folks.
I love your accountability.
Yeah.
You like coming. You like talking about this.
Proud about being transparent and open with folks, Nestor, but also proud about the transformation that city government started to take. Right. You and I talked about how outdated it was. Right. Getting those systems in place, putting the right people in place to modernize it, but also proud of the fact that we've been able to the way we handle COVID and being a city that was renowned around the country for how we handled it. But then as we come back from that, how we're being a little uplifted as a city about focusing on how to do things the right way, focusing, being somewhere where folks from the White House came to Baltimore to support me as I announced how we could be building a community violence intervention system here in Baltimore, having the CIAA be expanded, having the great things that we have happening in the city, proud of all of it, but most importantly, proud of how to lead with our residents and the love and support that they continue to
give. What needs more work?
Oh, everything needs more work. I don't believe anything is perfect, right? Even the things that we did great, I think we can do better.
What's a fair criticism?
Fair criticism is that...
there's too much crime.
Crime. Yeah. Not just that, though, that things are not progressing as fast as we want them to, and they're not progressing as fast as I want them to. Things aren't being built as fast as I want them to, right? But we all know the world that we live in. You can't order anything and get it on time. You know this is going to take a lot of work. And what I want people to do is... Before you make an assumption or a quick criticism or think about that, think about what you can do to help, think about how long these issues have existed in the city, and think about not what folks want you to believe about Baltimore, but how we can make Baltimore better together.
Y'all came down for Paul McCartney, so I don't want any complaints. Get back down here. We're next phase. We're having a delicious crab cake. I'm about to have a delicious crab cake. Man. Tony Randall is here. The mayor's got some fried shrimp. I think they do that special just because you're the mayor. I'm not sure. At least I hope so. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play. I got some Betty Boop scratch-off tickets here, as per usual. Got copies of Purple Rain 1 and 2. We're giving this away, but also out online. Make sure you're checking that out as we release it. And our friends at Goodwill. And, of course, Window Nation supporting us in the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be at Fadley's on Wednesday. I'm going to come back and hang out with Tony Randall. I got to get the mayor back to his office by 2 o'clock because he's, like, running the city. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, even on Juneteenth and his day off, takes a tie off, comes down to next phase. Stay with us. Back for more from downtown to next phase right after this.